Let us just pray together. Lord God, we just ask that the word that we've heard may dwell in our hearts. May the word that we heard light our way. May we come to know you more intimately, more closely today. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us so that we may understand your purpose for our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, we are in our third week in our series called Beyond Imagination, looking at how do we understand the character and nature of God. And I want to say this. I want to encourage you, if you've missed the first couple of weeks, because it builds upon one another. So I want to encourage you, if you've missed them, catch up with them. Because understanding the awesome power of God, understanding the all-knowing aspect of God is so important for us to actually get that breadth and understanding of who God is for our lives. We've been thinking about God and the nature of God, the character of God, and why I've called it beyond our imagination is that we often struggle to adequately describe, adequately comprehend the immensity of who God is and what God has done for our lives. We let words roll off our tongues, but we don't grasp that deep meaning for it. So we've looked at the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, and today we're going to step into, if you haven't kind of cottoned onto it yet, and I'm going to give you, and we'll put up the next slide, the word for it is the omnibenevolence of God. What a great word, omnibenevolence. Do you want to all try saying that? There you go, the omnibenevolence of God, which means that God is all good and all loving. In other words, his benefit is for you. For you and me. I think this, you know, Gail was just saying, as we were reading that passage, isn't it awesome? And as we just start to think about this, that God is all good and all loving, it just is amazing to even comprehend that, to think about it. It blows my mind when I spend time just thinking and contemplating the great love of God and the great goodness of God. And we know that we can sum this up, and it's so easily summed up with one verse in the Bible of what God's great love for it is. Anybody want to have a guess before we put it up on the screen for you? Look, Rick's onto it already, so this is great. Let's put up our next verse on the screen. And do you want to just, you probably know this off by heart. It is the New Living Translation version of it, so it may just trip you up on a little bit of wording. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We let that roll off our tongues. We've read it, we've seen it, at sporting events, it gets used all the time. And I think sometimes we just don't comprehend what it means to have that great love of God in our life, how much God loves us. God's goodness and love is not something that God just does. God's goodness and love is his very character, his very nature. It is who God is. God is love. Doesn't that blow your mind? I want you to kind of understand, this really blows our mind. I want to take you on a bit of a journey for a moment. And we've been thinking about this character and nature of God. And last week I shared with you a few verses from Psalm 139. And today I want to share some more of those verses with you. So it kind of highlights God is that this all-powerful, all-creating, all-knowing, all-good, all-loving God. And he has care and concern for you. So I'm going to just start from verse 13 on Psalm 139. And if you're following along, we have sermon notes that you can tap into on the church app. And we've got all of these verses up for you. So if you want to make notes on that and catch up, please do so. And it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. And as I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life you recorded in your book. Every moment you laid out before a single day has passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me." God's all-knowing. God's all-powerful. God's creating. God is all good and all-loving and knows us so intimately and wants the best for us in our life. Now, God's love for us is there even when we don't feel loved ourselves, even when we don't show love ourselves, when we're up, when we're down. God's love is there. It is beyond our imagining. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 expresses this so beautifully about how God's love is there for us, and it's beyond our imagining. And Romans 5, verses 6 to 8 says this: "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." God's love for us is so beyond our imagination that even though we have done wrong, even though we are sinful in who we are, God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, who's died for us for the forgiveness of sins so that we may be restored back to God and have that close relationship. How amazing is that? God showed his great love through Jesus Christ on the cross and in the empty tomb. The thing is, when we talk about love, when we talk about God's great love and God's goodness, we tend to measure that love against ourselves. We tend to measure that love against our capacity to love and be good. I want to just pause for a moment. Now, whenever we talk about God's love and God's goodness, and we talk about how we reflect upon ourselves and what we've been like, I want to acknowledge, probably here today, that there are people who are feeling as though they're unloved, or a relationship maybe not going as well as it could once was. And when we talk about this, we want to understand that God's love transcends all that, goes beyond all of that. And even though we may be feeling down and hurt, that God's love is there for you. So how do we understand the all-loving, all-good nature of God when we are broken and unloving ourselves? You know, yesterday I was writing a bit of this message, and yesterday it was Annette and Al's wedding anniversary. And it was an interesting thing just to be reflecting about how love happens and relationships and how love sometimes, not that saying our relationship is not good, but sometimes we have those moments. I don't know anybody that's, you know, who's ever had a moment in their relationship with somebody else where you haven't felt as loving as you once were. I was reflecting on our journey together over the many years that we've known one another, and how at times there have been deep moments of great love, and how times there have been some stretching and difficult moments. how when things have gone well and things have been really hard and tough and we've had tears, how we've celebrated and been joyful. And so when we've been reflecting on all of this, when I've been reflecting on that and how I can understand God's goodness and love, and I'm looking at our own relationship, if all I ever do is look at from the perspective that I have about my relationship I had with my parents, my family, my relationship I would have with Annette, and my relationship I would have with you, my relationship I had other people and my children, if that's my only recourse, then I'm not seeing the whole picture. Because as good as things might be, we're observing from a broken standpoint. And we only get an incomplete picture and understanding of the great love and goodness of God. And I want to actually acknowledge here, I want to acknowledge that the church should be and can be a place where love is known. You know, we're challenged by Jesus to the disciples saying, by the love for one another, you will be known. You know, and I want to acknowledge this. That even the church, as good as we want it to be, at times we are unloving. At times we have not done good. And I want to actually acknowledge this. And I'm not talking about Pittwater Uniting Church here. I'm talking about the bigger church. It's not even just the Uniting Church. It is a church all over the world. I want to acknowledge that leaders, people who have been set apart to teach spiritually, that's men and women, have not always shown the goodness or love of God by the way they've dealt with people. There have been failings on the parts of individual leaders in the church. And I tell you, I was saddened yesterday when I was reading my emails and another couple of high-profile Christian leaders have failed morally. And I'm just going, it's not the first time, and I hate to say this, it won't be the last time. We are sinful people, and even though we may hold a position of spiritual leadership, there is failings upon our lives. But God's love is beyond the human church. When we hear stories of how people have been hurt by a person who is connected with the church, who's not shown love that is reflecting God's love for us, it breaks my heart. And I have to say, there are times in some of the activities I've had to do involved with the church where I've had to hear the details of how that's happened, and it makes me weep. We're meant to reflect the all-loving nature of God, and yet we don't. But Romans 5, verse 8 sums it up for me when I'm reflecting upon this. And I'm so thankful what God has done for us, even though we are sinners and have fallen short. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were sinners. Not because we were good, not because we achieved something, not because we've been loving ourselves, but because we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we're fallen, even though we're sinful people, God has shown us his grace and love and his goodness. So I want to head back to Romans, into chapter 8, into what the reading that we had today, and just delve into that for a moment. I just want those words to sink into you. We'll put it up on the screen for us. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? So this is about the goodness of God, isn't it? If God and the benevolence of God is for us. God wants to have you restored back into that goodness of God, into that love of God, God is for us, then who can be against us? God has got something planned for you. But since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. God has given us right standing. That's the goodness of God flowing through the work of Christ. The goodness of God gives us right standing. The love of God gives us right standing and relationship with God again. We've been separated from God. We only sing dimly of that through our own relationships. And it goes on to say, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And I love this passage. This is one of my favorite passages. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? So if the things aren't going well in our life, if we think that, you know, difficulty is there, if there's persecution or hunger or destitution or danger or threatening to life, does that mean God has abandoned us? Does that mean God is unloving and not all good? No. God's love for us is there regardless. And it won't separate us from God's love, even though it might be hard. And as the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. What a statement. That nothing can separate us from God's love. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church as he's in captivity. And he's even in that moment, in captivity, in pain, and facing death, he's claiming that nothing can separate us from God's love because God is all good and all loving. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of all hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will we even be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we all said, amen. Indeed. Isn't that a powerful statement? And these verses from in Romans that Paul is highlighting that unshakable nature of God's love. Nothing in all creation. No circumstances, no force, no power can separate us from the love of God is made known through Christ Jesus. God's love is eternal, unwavering, unconditional. It surpasses any challenge or obstacle that we may face. This truth provides immense comfort and assurance to all believers, knowing that God's love is constant and enduring, even though our circumstances may not be. God's love is constant and enduring, even though we may go through ups and downs. But I don't want to just leave it thinking about God. I don't want to leave it as though, oh, we're just doing some theology and we've got our mind space right and I'm thinking about God. And I've got the understanding that God is a creating God. I've got the understanding that God is all powerful. I've got the understanding that God is all knowing. And I'm now starting to comprehend and understand that God is all loving and all good. But the thing is, God's love for us transforms us. God's love for us transforms us. It does not leave us as we were. We are changed by our relationship with God. We are changed because of what God's love is doing for us. The sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross is the ultimate demonstration of the love and grace. And we see that in Romans 5:8. His death reconciles us to God, providing forgiveness and salvation. This is a transformative act that invites us into a new life of purpose and freedom. So how do we respond? How do we respond to God's love that transforms us? So we're going to put up our last slide on the screen. These are three simple things that we can do, and I'm going to be really quick on this. These are three simple things for us that we are transformed by. If we're receiving God's love, we're transformed by it. And we need to learn how to receive God's love. We need to embrace the truth of God's unconditional love for each and every one of us. Now, the reason why I've been wanting to think about and us think about this awesome nature of God, the God bigger than just our everyday experience, but bigger than that, is that when we start to see the truth of who God is, we know that we've received so much more. When we can start embracing the truth that God is all loving and all good, that unconditional love is coming upon us, then we should be willing to accept that and receive that and cherish that in our lives. That's taking that step of saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe he's forgiven our sins. Yes, I want to receive that loving nature of God in my life. So that's about receiving God's love. It's about understanding and knowing it's there, but receiving it, not just keeping it hidden, receiving it in our lives. And when we receive it, what happens is we start to reflect that love of God in our life. The love that Christ has given us starts to compel us to love others sacrificially. In 1 John 3, verse 16, not to be confused with John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Notice what that is. That is sacrificial love. If we're reflecting the love of God, and we see that love of God made manifest in Jesus Christ, and what Christ has done, we need to learn the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus Christ, and we need to start reflecting those things in our lives. And that means that we need to love others sacrificially. Not love ourselves for our benefit, not love so what we can gain from it, but love sacrificially for others. That is reflecting God's love in our life. And as a church, that's what we aspire to do. Do we, Pittwater Uniting Church, do we want to reflect Christ's love to those around us? Oh, that was a bit half-hearted, wasn't it? Yes, good, Rick. It is something that we really want to strive and do through the programs that we have, through the worship that we have, through the care that we have in Bread Ministry, all those kind of things, through the work and the care that we want to provide to our neighbours, to broader than that. We want to reflect that sacrificial love out into our world around us. And thirdly, what we want to do as we let God's love, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, all-loving nature of God be on there, we need to learn to rest in God's love, which means that we trust actually in that finished work of Jesus Christ. We allow God's love to anchor our souls no matter what is going on around. So think of it, you might be feeling like you are on the roughest sea in your life at this moment, but God's love is that anchor holding you steadfast. Even though it might be turbulent all around you, God's love is steadfast in your life. See, my prayers for us today is that we will show love and goodness in our lives as a reflection of God's goodness and love for all of the world here. May we day by day become more like Jesus. So let's just pray. I just invite the band to come up, and we're going to lead into our next song, as we finish off this prayer. Our Lord God, we give you thanks for your word and how it lights our path. But Lord, it examines our lives as well. Lord, we know that not everybody has loving families. Not everybody has people that are good to them. And Lord, we acknowledge this. Lord, may we show love in that situation. May we show care in those situations. Lord, we ask for around the world where there is conflict, where there is war, where there is hatred, where there is not love, there is not goodness. Lord, that your goodness and your love may show up, may be manifest in men and women who come and spread that love and that care sacrificially in places of war and conflict. Lord, we pray for people like John Burrow, who's going overseas to help with Mercy Ships and their amazing love that they provide to communities without, who have great need. That physical love of providing operations and medical support. Lord, we pray for strengthening of those people. We pray for Marty and all the work he does in Zimbabwe through our neighbour's orphanage and school. Lord, we pray that as he's showing love and care, of Christ's love and care, may it be manifest in all of the relationships that he has. And in the staff and volunteers that help. Lord, we pray for ourselves, we pray for our church, that we may be known by our love, that we may be known by our goodness, that we may be known by your love flowing through us. Oh Lord, today, if anybody is feeling far away, if anybody's feeling unloved, uncared for, Lord, come upon them powerfully. Come upon them powerfully now that they may feel your presence, that they may know your love, the all-encompassing, all-good nature of you. Oh Lord, we just ask that you be powerfully with us. And if you're feeling far away today and you're feeling like you just want to come closer, you want to have some of that goodness, some of that love, some of that power, some of that nature of God in your life, God gives it freely. All you need to do is ask Jesus into your life. So Lord, may we just, this moment, if you're saying, yes, I want more, may you just pray with me. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm done wrong. I know I'm not reflecting your love. So Lord, today, forgive me. Forgive my sins, forgive my wrongdoings. And Lord, save me. Show me your love, show me your goodness, show me your grace that you give freely to the world. Oh Lord, we just ask this in your holy name. Amen.